The following message from Bible teacher and pastor Jim Crabb is brought to you by Imago Dei Christian Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio.
Second Chronicles chapter 20. I love this chapter. This is a great chapter that every believer should mark in their Bible and go to when you're in a great battle. And it says, verse 1, it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with them other besides the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. You ever feel like this? Reading that verse right there, you ever feel like the children of Israel did? Seems like everything's against you sometimes. Do you feel like that? That it just seems like, man, everything's against me. I got to fight everything. Huh? I mean, all the time. Everything's a fight. Isn't it? I mean, that's the way it is. We're the target, and everything in hell's trying to stop us. One enemy, three enemies against the Israelites in verse 1, man. I feel like that sometimes. Everything's against us, you know. They came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came somebody and told Jehoshaphat and said, there comes a great multitude against you from beyond the sea on this side of Syria. Man, I already got three armies coming against me. Then somebody comes, this really isn't an encouraging word. There's a great multitude, brother, coming from another direction, from this beyond the sea in this side of Syria. And behold, they be in Hazon Zatamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared. I mean, in the right way, I think Jehoshaphat had a good enough sense. That isn't to say we never have any feelings of, wow, this isn't a good situation. Right? We got three armies, then this great multitude's coming from the other direction. And it says, Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. And he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. You know what you do? That's what we talked about a couple weeks ago or last, whenever it was, when I talked about being a smith. There were no smiths in Israel. There was no fabricators of weapons. That's what the scripture said in 1 Samuel 13. And, we need weapons. We need spiritual weapons to do this spiritual life that we're in. So Jehoshaphat has got these armies coming against us. And even though they were natural armies, Jehoshaphat knew this scripture. I don't war against flesh and blood. Even though flesh and blood are coming to fight against me, my battle's not really with flesh and blood. No, I said that wrong. I said my battle's not really with, not really flesh and blood. My battle isn't flesh and blood. That's not my battle at all. My battle is a spiritual battle. You can beat natural stuff with spiritual weapons. That's a fact. And that's what Jehoshaphat, when all hell's breaking loose, when he's overwhelmed, this is what I can't get people to do. People will call me and they'll tell me, Pastor, can I talk to you? Yes, of course you can. What's the matter? And they'll tell me verse 1 and 2. They'll tell me, oh, I got all this is happening, and this is falling apart, and this is coming against me, and I got laid off. We lost our house, and then the water pipes broke. We got a flood, and this is happening. And then, they'll tell me all these things that are coming against their life. And I say, well, this is what we're going to do. We're going to do something spiritual. Eventually we'll call the plumber. But the first thing we're going to do is we're going to find a spiritual weapon. The first thing we're going to do before we panic, amen, when we feel overwhelmed, the first thing we're going to do is figure out which spiritual weapons are in our toolbox that we're going to get out to battle with. Hey, hallelujah. My God, we need some spiritual weapons. The plumber can wait. We got a spiritual battle going on. But I can, when people call me and they feel overwhelmed, what they want, oftentimes they don't want spiritual weapons. They want stuff like sympathy. They want pity. And they want, or really, they don't want to do any spiritual work and warfare. They don't want to go to, if I said to them, and I have done it, if I said, I'll tell you what we're going to do. Now, you're under such attack. I'm going to call some, let's get three or four brothers and sisters together, and I'll meet you at the altar. Now, you know, most people I know today, I'm not looking at anybody. I'm just looking at, I'm talking to everybody. Most people that I know today, they'd say, what? No, we called the church because we want you to give us some money so we can fix the pipes or something. And we're not opposed to that, and we do that. We help people that are in need. Of course we do, man. But I want to give you something bigger than that. But I want you to get in the fight. That's what you got to do. When all hell breaks loose, you got to get in the fight. And that's what Jehoshaphat said. You know what? We got a real problem here, man. We got three armies in verse 1, and a great multitude are coming from the other direction. We are in a bad way here, and there's no way we got enough bows and arrows to, even if we had all the bows and arrows, everybody had one, there's still more problems than we got answers to naturally. So let's do some spiritual work. I want to tell you the battles that I've been in most of my Christian life, that there, you know, you don't just throw money at it or natural physical help at it. You do something spiritual about it. I wish the church would get back to doing more spiritual work. Praying in the spirit is warfare. Let's meet at the altar. Let's fast. Let's pray. Let's seek God. But most people, they want to get better, but they don't want to get better that bad if it costs that. You mean I got to pray about it? Yeah, and you're going to meet me at the church in 15 minutes. Let's talk to God. I'll stay there with you until the sun comes up. Let's pray about it. Let's seek God about it. Let's fast about it a little bit. And most folks won't pay that price. They want something easy and natural. Can I hear amen? I love verse 3 though. Jehoshaphat feared the Lord. He said, I'm going to do something spiritual. I'm going to set myself to seek the Lord. In all the problems you're facing right now, have you done that? Have you set yourself? I mean, set yourself. Dug in and said, bless God, through this battle, I'm going to seek God. And proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask the help of the Lord. Well, praise God, somebody's doing the right thing. Judah got together and said, we need God's help here. You know, if you're in an overwhelming situation in your life tonight, and I don't care if you created it or something else created it or just life created it, I'm calling you tonight to a new level of setting yourself before God, to a spiritual exercise of the weapons of your warfare, not being natural and carnal. And I'm challenging you to get a hold of God and ask help of God. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah in Jerusalem, in the house of the Lord before the new court. I like Jehoshaphat. He's a good leader. Look where he is. Bless God, he's near the house of God. He knows the answer is going to come from the house of God. The power is going to come out of the house of God. And he said, look at verse 6. This is the pastor, the leader, the captain, the king. He says, it said verse 5, or verse 6, he says, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in the heaven? Aren't you God in the heavens? He's, you know, it's not like God needs to be reminded of this. He's not helping God. And God didn't go, well, golly, man, I never thought about that until you brought that up, Jehoshaphat. He's talking to God and about God, but he's really talking to himself. He's reminding himself. Oh, Lord, our God of our fathers, aren't you God in heaven? He's telling himself, Jehoshaphat, God is God in heaven. And don't you rule over all the kingdoms of the heathen? He's not trying to tell God that or just ask God that. He's reminding himself, the God that I serve, he lives in the heavens. He rules over every kingdom of the heathen. And Lord, in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand you? Do you know, if you, no matter how overwhelming our situation is, if we can seek God and get a hold of God in it, there is nothing, I don't care how bad it is, nothing's able to, my God, that right there, none will be able to withstand you. Nothing can withstand God. Not those three armies. I don't care how big they are. And not that multitude that's coming from Syria. They're not big enough to withstand God. I don't care if you've lost everything in your life. I don't care if you've ruined everything you've touched so far. If you'll stand up tonight and declare before God, I set myself. I'm done living like this. I'm done failing. I'm done being overcome and overwhelmed. God, you are the God of all the heathen, and you are in charge of those heathen. And none, no matter how many they are, none, no amount of people that are against me are able to withstand you. But see, we got to get God in it. I got to get him in my situation. But he's not going to come unless you make a willful determination. God, I want you. I'm setting my heart. I'll change everything in my life. You know, I tell people all the time, I didn't get saved because all of a sudden I just really fell in love with Jesus Christ and he was the glorious Trinity and all that. I didn't know anything about that. I knew I'd ruined my life and all hell was breaking loose and there was no hope for me. I couldn't get out of this hole I was in. And I needed somebody bigger than me to help me get out of it. And I was going to hell, and I knew that. And I needed somebody to come and help me. And when I got desperate, when I got saved, man, I didn't just get saved and then sit passively by. I set myself. I don't care if I got to go to church every night of the week. I don't care if I got to go to church in the middle of the night, early in the morning. I don't care if I got to go to church and they spend 6-7 hours in church. I don't care. I could use all I can get right now because I'm in a big fat hole and everything has come against me. I've ruined everything. I've lost everything. I've ruined relationships. I've hurt people. I can't get it together. I'm a failure. But I'm telling you, when I got saved, I said, Lord, I'm going to get a hold of you. Come and get in my life. And I'm going to do my part. And my part was just being willing and being tenacious and saying, God, I'm going to get a hold of you and I'm going to hang on to you. If I got to walk to San Diego, if a pastor got up and said, if you walk to San Diego, God would touch you and help you. I'd have set out walking. It's amazing. You know, sometimes we're that tenacious about going to do bad stuff. I don't know if you were, but are you kidding me? If somebody said, I never said to anybody I was trying to find something to smoke or snort or do something. I never said, oh, shoot, I think that's a little too, you mean all the way across town? I'd be halfway across town before they ever thought about it. Are you kidding me? Because I was tenacious about what I wanted before I got saved. Some people are really tenacious about sin. And then they get real passive and apathetic about serving God. And yet, and yet three armies coming from one way and a multitude from the other way, you better get aggressive about something. You better get in the game, man. Huh? He said in verse 7, "Aren't you God? Aren't you our God who did drive out the inhabitants of this land before the people of Israel, and you gave it to the seed of Abraham, your friend, forever?" Man, this guy's preaching himself happy here. He's telling himself, aren't you God? And he knows that he is. He's putting that in his mind. "I know that you're God. I'm standing in Israel." This guy was. And the land of Israel, and Jehoshaphat was. And he said, "Before the Israelites were here, there were other inhabitants in this land. But I remember, God, that because of Abraham, your friend, the covenant partner that created the Hebrew race, the Jewish nation, because you were friends with him, Lord, you drove all the inhabitants out of this land." All of them. God drove them out. That's why the devil's aggravated us for one reason, because we're in his territory. He got thrown out of heaven from his place of worshiping God. He got tossed out, and now we replaced him. Now we're in his spot. He threw out that inhabitant. Huh? And he's been trying to get me out of that place for all these years, man. And he said, and then in verse 8, he said, "And they," the Israelites, "they dwelt therein," in the land of Israel, "they dwelt therein and have built you a sanctuary therein for thy name." So in the land, God ran the inhabitants out and gave the whole place to Abraham for one guy that believed God. God will give you everything if you'll just trust him and believe him. Woo! God will give you everything you need if you'll just trust him and believe him. He gave Abraham the entire promised land. This is your land. You have inherited from God Almighty this entire nation. That's your land. And that land flows with milk and honey. That land is blessed. And I've run the inhabitants out that used to be there because I want you to have this, because you're my friends and my family. And then the Israelites, they began to live in Israel. This is all Jehoshaphat. This is warfare before he fights. You know, most church people just pick up a stick and if there's enemies coming, oh my God, and they'd get a big stick and start running out in the yard looking for who to hit. First of all, you're going to take a natural weapon. You're not going to make it. And second of all, before you go fight, you got to get a hold of God. You got to get him in there with you. I can't do this by myself. I knew that's why I got saved. I can't do this by myself. And then he built a sanctuary on that land. In other words, that's Solomon's temple, right? The Moses had a tabernacle, the tabernacle in the wilderness, and then David had a tabernacle, the tabernacle in Mount Zion, the David's tabernacle of worship, right? And then Solomon's magnificent sanctuary and temple. So, Jehoshaphat's reminding God, you're the one that drove the inhabitants off this land. And then you allowed us. We built a tabernacle, a sanctuary to worship you in your name in this land right here. You're the God that helped us do it. That's what he's saying. See, all this is pre-fight. Nobody's been hit yet. But this is where people today don't want to do this stuff. People are spiritually lazy, for my money, man, today. They don't want to use the word. They don't want to get up and speak the word. Sometimes, you might have to get up early in the morning and walk the floor and just speak the word of God. When Sarah and I have told this story, our first baby was born. That baby died. And that was a heart issue. It was hypoplastic left heart syndrome. And that baby died. The baby lived 4 days and that baby died. That hurt me, man. That hurt mama. And it really made daddy mad. And then we prayed and God gave us, you know, supernatural. Sarah conceived. Brother Copeland was involved in that, prophesied over. And Sarah got pregnant 3 months after that, after losing that baby. And bless God, and we went at it. But I'm going to tell you how, I'm going to tell you something. You better understand, daddy, devil, you ain't going to have any baby this time. And I'd get up early in the morning. I'd get up at that time. I mean, early for me was before I drove an hour to work. But I'd be up at 4:30 in the morning. And I would go in the kitchen in that little apartment above this, in this two-story little thing we had in this old house. And I'd get in that kitchen. I'd get on my knees at that wooden, that I can smell that wooden chair when I talk about it. Because I put my face in that wooden chair. And I'd get a hold of God every morning. I'd say, God, there is a child forming in my wife's belly while I'm praying. Oh, God, I thank you tonight that every cell of that baby is in Jesus' name going to be healthy and strong. I mean, I could have become a doctor. I was praying over so many parts of the body, man. I prayed over cells, eyes, hearts, ears, ear lobes, teeth. I prayed no deformity. I prayed over every finger. I prayed. I'd speak it out loud. I'd march the floor and say, God, this is going to be a perfect baby. This baby's going to serve you. It's already been prophesied that there's an anointing on this baby. That's my Leah that Brother Copeland prophesied of. See, that's one thing we did was we didn't lose that baby and then sit at home and pout about it. We had to get up when Brother Copeland came to town. I told you, that day when Brother Copeland came to town, I got the pastor. I said, Pastor, I need the key to the church today or tomorrow morning. He said, what for? I said, not that he wouldn't have let me. I said, I want to get in there. I'm taking work off. I took a day of vacation. I said, I'm going to fast tomorrow because we're going to Brother Copeland. Sarah and I are going to go early. We're getting something from God. We're going to hear from God. And I'm going to march in the floor. I'm going to march up and down the church aisles all day long. And I'm going to pray in the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to get a hold of God. And we're going to get a miracle. Amen. And you know, and you can't be apathetic and sit around and let the devil just take. You know, you got somewhere in here, somebody's got to get ticked off. Somebody's got to get fed up. I got fed up. I was tired of seeing my wife battle through by faith that hurt that was in her heart over losing my baby. That was a boy. That was my baby boy, man. And I got tired of that. And so I had to do some spiritual work. I had to take off work and go to the house of God, walk the floor, pray in the Holy Ghost. And then we went early. Went to Brother Copeland. We were one of the first ones in line. Sat in the front row. We were doing spiritual battle. We were hungry for God. God, speak to us. God, help us. We're not going to sit down and pout about this and give in and give up. Are you kidding me? I know you don't feel, I didn't feel like doing all that. But I'll tell you what I really didn't feel like doing. And that's getting my brains beat out anymore. I didn't feel like letting the devil hurt me and take my babies. And I realized how mean that devil was. If I'd ever forgot about it since I got saved, I realized how cruel he was. And what a warfare we're in. That he'd attack that little baby to get at me. And really to get at God. And man, I made up my mind. And we plowed through there. We threw people out of the way, run into the front row, get up in the front row and sat down. And brother, the worship started. The second or third song in, Brother Copeland walked out. There was at the convention center, man. There's people, you know, we were young Christians. We didn't know anything, but we were hungry and mad. We'd had it. You got to get fed up. I'm not having this anymore. God, you're the God. I was kind of trying to say what Jehoshaphat said. You're the God that threw the inhabitants out of this land. You're the God that killed all these people and gave Israel all their blessings. And aren't you my God tonight? That's what Jehoshaphat's going to get to. And the answer is yes. Yes, that's right, man. And Brother Copeland came out there, and as soon as he came out, he lifted his hand and started to worship, and then he turned around and stopped the band, told him to stop, came right over to the end of the stage and pointed, of all people in there. See, I'm telling you, when you get desperate and hungry, there's a draw on God. Now, Kenneth Copeland wouldn't know us he didn't know us. We were nobodies anyway. We weren't in a pastor's section or the big shot section or a famous people section. We were just too hungry, sold out, turned on, non-apathetic, red hot, born again people that loved God and were chasing him like crazy people. And Brother Copeland walked out there, and it was like he came over to the edge of the stage and pointed his finger, and I knew when he started that, I thought, thank you. It's coming. It's coming. I can feel it. He pointed his finger at Sarah. He said, this young lady in this green dress right here, the Spirit of the Lord comes upon me and told me to tell you this. And he started prophesying over her, man, this incredible word about what God was putting in her life. And it was, some of it was about a ministry for her. Some of it was about Leah. Some of it was about our coming baby. And some of it was about healing in what had just happened to us, man. But it was like somebody told him in the back room what happened to us. But I know that that wasn't true. And he flowed in that. We played that we played a tape at church one time. We played the tape. The lady that sat, they didn't have all this all worked out yet with all the digital stuff and everything. And this lady that sat behind us had one of those big old cassette things that you carried around. You need to work out before you carried it. She had one. And when he started talking, she turned that thing on. And after that service, she leaned forward with tears coming down and handed us that thing, man. That's right. And so we went home with, right, you know, Sarah wasn't pregnant yet, but she got, but I'm telling you, that right there, that moment right there is where God, where she really conceived in her heart the Word of God. Because we knew that the God that we serve that does all this stuff, that God, that's what you do. You answer prayer when somebody gets fed up. I'm serious. I'm talking to some people tonight. You're just not fed up enough tonight. You put up with junk and nonsense and crazy stuff and let the devil inhabit your land and all this stuff, man. We gotta say no. You're not going to do that anymore. He said they built a sanctuary in Israel, verse 8. This Jehoshaphat's still talking to God. If when evil comes upon us as the sword of judgment or pestilence or famine, look at this, man. We stand, this is Jehoshaphat praying this out. We stand before this house. Bless God, you know what? Every time I've ever been in the worst shape in my life, I'm telling you, I never thought about running from the house of God. I run to the house of God. I know this is a building. This isn't even a church building. This is a warehouse made into a church building. But I'll tell you right now, it's our house. It's where we come and meet with God. Are you kidding me? This is where God shows up. I'm telling you, you take me to all the places I've preached in my life, my churches that I've pastored. In my mind, places in the sanctuary aren't just places in the sanctuary. This right here is the, I remember my nephew Jay that we buried a few weeks ago. I remember the Spirit of God getting on him and him laying face down right here at this spot right here. That's what that spot is. That makes that a holy spot to me. I remember so-and-so was over here and they got healed. And Billy got healed right there. And so-and-so got a word from God sitting over here. And the, you know, that's what the house of God. Where the Spirit of God, where there's a corporate help. Man,
I don't want to be around God's people.
Listen, man, God's people are crazy sometimes. It's a fact. They just get crazy. We all, so, you know, we're not perfect people. Huh? But I'm telling you, I love the church. Not just our church. I love the church. Church creates issues and all kinds of stuff, man, because people stuff. But man, out of the church, my God, there's where the prophets are and the priests are and the preachers are and the worship, the corporate anointing. You can't have a corporate anointing by yourself. We come together, man, as the body. That's what he's saying here. He said, verse 9, we stand before this house. He's got, you know, why is he doing this? Because three armies plus a multitude are coming against him. We stand before this house and in thy presence. For thy name is in this house. The Bible says, God has chosen to place his name in the house of God. And he said, your presence is at that house. And we cry unto thee in our affliction. I understand what that means. I don't even need a Hebrew word there, do you? I get that. I don't need another translation. I understand what it means to be in my affliction. Huh? We cry unto you in our affliction. Look at this last part now. And you, then, after all that, then you will hear and help. Man, I don't care what's going on in my life, as long as he's hearing and helping. Now, I don't need him just to hear and not help. I need him to help, to hear and help. But if I do it all that, with the posture that Jehoshaphat had, he'll hear us and he'll help us. Let's say that together. He'll hear me and help me. Look at the person next to you and say, he'll hear you and help you. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade. Listen to this now. These enemies, in the past, one time, God would not let Israel invade these enemies. One time, God told them, don't kill them. When they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not, these enemies. Behold, I say, how, Lord, he's telling the Lord, look how they reward us. We didn't kill them. We could have and wanted to. We didn't kill them. This is how they reward us. Now, years later, they're going to come back against us. To come to cast us out of thy possession. That's what the devil's trying to do to you. I wish somebody would hear me. I said, that's what he's trying to do to you. He's trying to cast you out of what's yours. Trying to take away from you what is rightfully God has given you as a possession, which you have given us to inherit. Oh, our God, Jehoshaphat prayed, will you not judge them? I got an answer about it. Yes, he will. For we, I love this. Jehoshaphat's honest, isn't he? For we have no might against this great company that comes against us. Neither know we what to do. Well, by God, draw a picture of me right next to that, right there. Draw a stick man. I'm believing God to get skinny here pretty soon. Draw a bald stick man, skinny guy, huh? With a big smile, and put my pastor right here. Because that's me. I'm in a big fight most of my life, and I don't know what to do. And this great company is coming against me. And I have no might. I can't beat all this that's coming against me. And besides that, I don't even know what to do. You ever feel like that, or is that just me? Well, then draw yourself by me then. Hallelujah. Neither know we what to do, verse 12. But our eyes are on you. We're watching you. We got our eyes are fixed on you, God, in this battle. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. We get calls all week at the church. We got this problem. We need that. Here's all these prayer requests we got. Okay, well, let's get together and fast and let's all pray about it or something, man. And you know hardly anybody will come. Yet all these people in this big mess. Your desperation and your worship has got to get bigger than your mess. He said, Lord, we don't know what to do. We don't have enough power to fight this thing. But I'll tell you one thing. Our eyes are on you. And Judah stood before the Lord with all their family and stuff. Then upon Jahaziel and Zechariah, the sons of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of Asaph. Now watch this now. In the midst of that came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation, and got on these guys. The Holy Ghost. Because their eyes were on God, and they had set themselves to seek God, the Spirit of God answered and jumped on certain of their people. And he said, listen, everybody, all of Judah, you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. No matter what your problem is, don't be afraid of it. Don't be dismayed. Pause. I just heard the Holy Ghost pierce me right there and say, somebody listened to that, but they didn't hear that. Don't be afraid of anything that you're facing in your life. I don't care how big it is, how much is coming against you, how overwhelmed you feel. No one can stand against God. So he boldly tells us. He has the right to tell us, doesn't he? Be not afraid nor dismayed by this multitude, for the battle is not yours. This battle is God's. But your part, I'll tell you what, your part of it, and your part of it is getting fed up, getting desperate, and being willing to do whatever it takes to get a hold of God. You got to bring God in it. He said, tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and you shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. This helps me. I love this right here. I'm ready to fight and do anything I got to do. But then the word of the Lord comes and says, you shall not need to fight in this battle. Pastor, you already done your fight. You getting fed up. You getting ticked off. You being willing to pray and get God in it. That is your part. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves and stand ye still, and you're going to see the salvation of God. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites and the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning, went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and so shall you be established. Believe in his prophets, and I'm telling you, you will prosper." When he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers to the Lord, that they should praise the beauty of his holiness, as they went out before the army, and told them to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." Listen to this now. And when they began to sing, when they began to sing, not when they sat back and said, "Well, isn't this nice?" When they began to sing and to praise, that's active praise, active singing. When they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Whew. It goes on. We could just, there's preaching ground all the way through this chapter. When you get to the place where you've had it, I wish you'd get there faster. That's all I ask. I wish we'd get there faster. We're so used to a crummy life. We're so used to such nonsense in our life. We put up with the devil squatting in our yards, in our lives. "Well, I'm better than I was." No, man. If you want to really get this thing right, get the devil out of your life and let God beat every enemy that's in your life, and he'll do it. And know this, there is nothing too hard for God, including your... Now listen to me, I'm talking to somebody tonight, and somebody needs to change the way they talk, and the way you see it and the way you talk about it. We know better here, this place. Most of us do. Yet we just fall into bad habits where you talk wrong about stuff. You got to talk right. You got to get your heart right. And you got to seek God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. If you would have lived in your past like you live now, you'd have never accomplished and had what you have in your life. It's time to get off our blessed assurance. Go forward and praise God. Lift our voice and say, "There's nothing too hard for God." Can I hear amen? Praise God, praise God. Let's put our hands toward heaven. Let's stand up, in fact, let's stand up tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. I think we ought to spend 1 minute praising him, because that's the theme of the night. Jeff, help me way up. I'm out again. Father, in Jesus' name, let's praise him. Father, in Jesus' name. Somebody ought to praise God. You're going to stop an ambushment right here. Somebody ought to get non-passive. Somebody ought to get aggressive. Somebody ought to go after God like never before. Somebody ought to say, "I'm fed up. Tonight's my night. That word was for me. I've had it. I've had it. I'm not putting up with darkness and the devil any longer. Tonight I came to get victory. And tonight I stand with Jehoshaphat. And I know that there is a land that I am called to inhabit. I'm tired of being beaten down by the devil. I'm tired. This is my land. This is my blessing. This is my inheritance. That's what Jehoshaphat told him. We've come to the house of God to set ourselves and to praise and worship God tonight. And we give you glory tonight. Somebody ought to just get happy and praise him right now. Come on. Somebody that's fed up. Somebody that's fed up. Somebody that's tired of being pushed around. Somebody that's tired of being pushed. Somebody that's tired of being beaten around. No more. No more. No more. No more. God is at work in my life. There's none that's able to stand against him for the goodness and for the glory of God. And I thank you for it. I give you praise tonight.
We trust you enjoyed this message. For more information about Pastor Jim Crabb and Imago Dei, please visit our website at imagodeicincy.com. imagodeicincy.com.